Welcome back to the Naked Podcast. This is a naked note where I share something I've written. And those of you who have listened to last week's episode, episode 60, where my daughter shared her journey of walking through trauma and how she felt, it felt fitting for me to write where I was from mother's perspective, how I weeded through that, how I tried to be everything she needed and not knowing what she needed. Writing this was a bit of a discovery. It always is for me. Writing is a discovery for myself, and just kind of reminded me really where we've been and what it was like to sit in that season and how I found the truth in what I needed to be for her. It was really difficult, but I hope that if you're sitting in your own season of wondering how to be a support to someone in your life, that maybe this will bring a bit of like a warm hug. Maybe it'll bring a bit of clarity as to what you can and be to somebody who's going through something really, really difficult. Either way, it's my story that I just wanted to share with you as a mom of a girl who was drenched in her own pain and not knowing how to support her, how to help her find her way through it. There's a lot of letting go. There's a lot of surrendering and just being steady. So thank you so much for being here and for joining us for this episode. Welcome back to the Naked Podcast. This is Janelle, and today's episode is a little different. There are no guests. It's just me and something I wrote. I haven't always written. It's something I kind of stumbled into a few years ago without really knowing the why behind it. But over time, it became really clear that writing is where I find clarity, healing, and perspective. I've been writing quietly for years now, and for the first time, I'm starting to share it publicly, starting with you. I'm honestly so excited, but equally as scared to let these pieces live outside of my notebook. It feels extremely vulnerable and raw. I want to thank you for being here and for listening. This is a giant leap for me. If something I share speaks to you, I would love to know more about it. Or if maybe you know someone who might need to hear this, just pass it along. Thanks again. Seeing my girl fade before my eyes. Watching her stumble backwards into the dark. Desperately, I wanted to catch her before she reached the edge, but I learned quickly that there is no outrunning the dark. The gray reached far beyond her shaded skin. It seeped through the layers into her heart, smothering her mind and snuffing out the light in her blue eyes. I know the dark from my own. I've been the touched teen, tattered by torment, unable to stop the dark from swallowing me whole. I know that look in her eyes. A paralyzing parallel stood between us, both afraid for different reasons. I could feel the palpitating fear in her body while she slept, when she ate, when she sat or walked or thought to speak. Still a child, unable to understand her own reactions, confusion and fear escorted her in and out of every day. The scramble in her steps, mapping out the distance between her and anyone else in the room. What is too close? What isn't far enough away? Are the walls too thin? The voices in her head were exposed by the way her body alertedly moved, her arms and legs flailing before her mind had time to make sense of any of it. Shocked by the way her body ejected at the sound of the wind, the flush of a toilet, the creak of a door. She would duck and trip and cower like a beaten dog. A girl, the one with the most whimsical, affectionate light in every room she ever entered. The cuddly one, the free-to-be-silly one, the one who hugged and easily loved everyone, is now crippled by the unannounced sounds of daily life. In a panic to save her, I wanted to shake her, hold her well past the anguishing sobs. I wanted to heal her, stop the dark from soaking her bones. I wanted to bring her back. I imagined hugging her, melting her fears like ice on a hot sidewalk. Maybe if she could feel my love, feel the warmth of my arms around her frail frame, maybe that could possibly be enough to bring her back, to resuscitate my girl, to revive the spark that's always shone so effortlessly in her. The internal fight to not bathe her in affection, lather her in love the only way I thought I knew how, while I was trampled with unknowns, waking in sweats, fearing the worst was closer than I knew. The internal restraint that I took was unbearable, pleading with myself to not make a move I would regret, one that would cause her to spiral further into the dark. Questions coiled through my body, hoping to make sense of just one, feeling stuck and angry and at a complete loss. I grilled myself on questions asking, what if I was firm? What if I demanded answers? What if I got to the bottom of who, when, and what happened? What if I cried? What if she knew how much pain it was for me to see her this way? What if every time she tripped, backpedaled from her siblings, her dad and I, what if we told her how it made us feel? What if we told her how awkward and hurtful her anger feels towards us? What if we had an intervention and allowed ourselves to express how broken and helpless we feel because we don't know what to do? Would the knowing cause her to realize that we are in this with her? Would it stop her from looking at us as though we are the villains? Stuck between desperation and loss, trying to do the next right thing, but never knowing what the next right thing is. How do I stay so far away when she wakes more distant than yesterday? How do I dare give myself permission to blaze past her crippling fear in hopes to save her? In some ways, it felt like complete abandonment. In other ways, it felt like violently trespassing. She is so visibly afraid of everyone. Reaching for her, staying far away, both felt like the wrong direction. Months and months of watching her fade into worlds so separate from our own. So much of me needed to know that she was still in there. I wanted some kind of glimmering hope to assure me that I wasn't watching her fade from 6 feet away, allowing the dark to slowly snatch her without anyone close enough to catch her. Quietly tucking my tears behind my eyes while she was in the room. Saving the relentless sobs for corners where no one could see me. Watching her hide in her world, wearing more clothing than what's needed for a blistering winter day, while also mummy wrapped in endless blankets. She was so unaware that it was the hottest time of year. Her fears far outweighed any amount of heat her body endured. She was the only one in my mind in every moment of every day. Every thought circling around, how can I help her? There were no answers, tools, yes, but no concrete way to bring her out of it. I wanted to yank the dark from her body before it found a crevice deep enough to hide in. The helplessness spurred the panic, trying to remain composed, but my entire being screamed every scenario racing through my mind. Nights on my knees, pleading, oh please God, oh please. Desperate, I called every therapist friend I knew. I found some comfort, but trauma is case by case. There is no one size fits all. It wasn't until my therapist asked me questions I didn't realize needed answered. That's when I began to see what was really happening in me. The reasons why I felt like I was running out of time to cut her loose from being snuffed out. So much of me thought I was leading with love, but throughout my sessions, it became more and more apparent that my actions and gut-wrenching sobs were only driven by my own worst fears. I was foretelling my future, our future, by the ways I had seen and heard other kids deal, or even my teen self deal with sexual trauma. Somewhere along the way, I'd mapped out where this was going. It was those thoughts that kept me awake at night. Sure, I saw her in the day-by-day moments, but I also saw her in the moments to come, handwriting her own story by my own fears. Once I stopped looking for answers, that's when I realized I can't fix her, but I can change what I bring into the room. Knowing this is good to know, but unmeasurably hard to execute. I never noticed how much I worry, and how much my worry makes me feel like I am doing something. Completely unaware that it taints what I see and veers me down trails I have no business being on. I had no idea how to take this knowing and turn it into doing.
How do I be the calm when it feels like the ground beneath me is shattering, shards of asphalt jarred between my toes, throbs clawing for my attention? Knowing is one thing. Doing requires something completely different. I needed to choose. I hoped I could choose something other than anxiously fearing the worst. So much of me was triggered by my own past. Ashamed that I knew the dark, even though I scrubbed and washed and tried to rub my skin clean. I grew up wishing God fixed me. Wondering what was wrong with me. Why couldn't the big, all-knowing power lift the torment from my 14-year-old body? Why do those fears from my teens follow me into my 20s and still try to reach for me in my 30s? An unwelcomed hand on my barely budding breast violently changed me, corrupted my innocence, and spun me down a lane of shame for the pain I couldn't pray out of me. Now here I am, afraid to tell some of my friends what kind of hell my girl is in. I couldn't take the potential shame, the post-it note prayers, the advice to cast the demons out and let her on her way. Sure that this will heal her, or will it make her feel like she needs to hide in shame because God didn't take it all away? Maybe God, the omnipresent, is more than just laying on of hands, the one that sends you on your way. Maybe it's the wisest voice, the one that sits gently in our chests, the one that whispers, the one that says what only we know we need to hear. Perhaps it's the calm, the one we know we can trust because it's the truest thing we have ever known. I've read and heard that love is patient, but how to be patient? Calculating months that had passed, hidden under the tick-tick-tock, clocking the days, wanting to know when this will end. I wanted timelines and solutions so I could answer the paling questions that speared through people's questioning eyes. Even more, I wanted assurance that she was coming back. So much of this had become about me and what made me uncomfortable. Viewing visions of my younger self in her, every thought escalating the last. Anxiousness disguised as love. Where is my love? I could let go of control, set her free to be who she was and feel what she feels without any pressures or timelines or questions or anxiousness. Love could be the most present force in any room she ever entered. The tone of my being could be one of the most patient kind of love. This is not a mask that can fool the heart, no, because a heart feels the heart. I had an opportunity to redirect my mind from wandering, to let go, and to find my way back to the ease in loving, so she could safely be exactly who she was. Life remained messy, tears still flowed. There was allowance, though, for it to be slow. There was a patient love that calmed the need to claw for answers. And let love be love without the need for her to be anything other than what she was. Consciously creating the room she needed to walk this out, to inch her way towards a light at a cadence that felt safe for her. It was up to me to unanxiously take her lead, to honor her pace and love extravagantly.
Thank you for joining me here and listening to Naked Notes. I have found writing to be very healing, allowing me to see things clearer through the quiet stillness that comes from early morning writings. If this resonates with you or somehow you feel connected to this piece, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram at nakedwithjanelle or email me at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day.